Hello, this is Space Kate, and I'm sitting outside in the sunshine on the Mall outside the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, which is kind of awesome because it has the Apollo 11 capsule, plus a Mercury and a Gemini, and all sorts of other fantastic things, which is brilliant. But even more exciting is that I've just discovered that due to the power of Twitter, I'm now sitting next to somebody who's worked at 5, maybe 6 NASA centres, which is actually more than I've visited so far on my trip. And I'm up to 5 so far, 6 at headquarters this afternoon for the tweet up. But let's speak to Brian Mead and find out, what on earth did you do and where?
Oh, I played with rocket engines a lot early in my career and transitioned that to launching the space shuttle down at Kennedy Space Center, which was really cool. And then I came up here as a contractor to work at Goddard and headquarters to do some like communication stuff, programmatic, less interesting than launching the space shuttle, but still important.
So when you say playing with rocket engines, I mean, that sounds a bit dangerous. What were you actually doing?
For the first few years, I was actually like going out and firing off little rocket engines, kind of like the, you know, the armadillos and those guys are doing. I was in the Air Force, and we were testing actually some of the precursors to the companies that are out there now. Back in the 90s, like mid-90s, I was testing some engines that were going to go on some launch vehicles back then that didn't go anywhere, but we still got to create some fire, which was fun.
So that's pretty. Where were you when you were doing that? Where can you go to fire a rocket engine and not get in lots of trouble?
Yeah, out in near Mojave, where they are now, out at Edwards Air Force Base, the Air Force Rocket Propulsion Lab is out there that they built back in the 60s, and they used to test the engine for the Saturn V out there. They had 5 test stands that could fire the F1 engine. You saw it. I don't know if you saw that in there. There's part of an F1 engine in there.
Those things are really, really big. And is it true that I think something like the power of just one of those the power of one of those Saturn V engines is about the same as all 3 main engines on the shuttle or something like that?
Yeah, it's 1.6 million pounds of thrust, which is, about a little over 3 of the SSMEs, yeah. And they had 5 of them on the first stage of the Saturn V.
Those must have been quite incredible launches to watch. I'm going to ask a stupid question now, but I promise myself that I'm learning about space and I'm going to be the one who asks the stupid question so that other people can learn and they don't have to feel stupid. If you are testing a rocket engine and it's creating that much thrust, how do you keep it in one place without flying off somewhere and, well, killing everyone?
That takes a beefy structure. If you go down to Stennis, which is where they test the SSMEs for the shuttle, and they did testing for the F1 for Saturn V, you see it's all flat, and they have these big, it looks like an oil rig that's built out in the middle of a field, and that's what they use to hold down the engines. And actually out there, they did a first stage Saturn V hold down test, full duration. So you had a Saturn V basically sitting there firing and not going away, so it's all there. And actually, they did it first at Marshall in Huntsville, Alabama, and it broke so many windows that they moved it to the swamps in Mississippi. I mean, people say that the ground rippled. I mean, it was just an incredible, because it's, you know, like 7 or 8 million pounds of thrust sitting there running for a bunch of seconds. And for like the SSME, they do they've done in the past 2,000 second tests.
So SSME is Space Shuttle Main Engine?
Yeah, sorry, acronymitis.
I'm getting better.
Yeah, the one of the 3 engines that are on the bottom of the space shuttle, actually on the orbiter, that only are used during ascent. But they'll test that thing for 2,000 seconds. So, I mean, you just start it and it just runs and runs and runs.
I saw a video of them testing one of the SRBs, the solid rocket boosters, out in a desert somewhere. And apparently it was so bright, but apparently all the sand in the sort of test area all turns to glass because it's so hot.
Yeah. They test them horizontally, so they kind of fire it onto a hill of sand and it crystallizes. And I've been out there for one of those. It's pretty neat. That's out in Utah, where ATK, they have a great facility out there. Huge facility where they build those SRBs, because they do other work for the government as well. They do other solid rocket, but that's the biggest one that exists.
So that's all kind of awesomely exciting, and it's probably, you know, a lifetime's worth of rocket excitement. But wait, you were talking about being there and being on the shuttle launch team. What did you do for them?
Yeah, so there's a the launch countdown, as you probably learned when you're down there, takes 3 days. That's if everything goes
115
right.
115 days for me.
Right. That's if everything goes right. It takes 3 days. It takes at least 3 days. So there's a team of people that run the launch countdown for those, 24/7 for those 3 days. So I wasn't on the launch console for T0, but I was in for the days leading up. And actually during the launch countdown, I was on a team that would be ready to go out to the pad to fix anything at the last minute if necessary. So we had to have a team of technicians and engineers in every discipline ready to go. And it was in the building behind the press area that you may have seen, called OSB2, which doesn't mean anything, but the top floor is the observation deck where all the highfalutins are, and they have food, and they're watching the launch from up there.
Oh, is that, that's the VIP deck,
right?
I think we heard about.
Right.
Yeah, we heard about that on one of our tours. It sounded kind of special. Can you get me in there one day?
I snuck in there before. I didn't just say that. That's where I met George Lucas there for a launch, which was really cool. They flew a lightsaber on the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. They flew a lightsaber up to the station, and so he was there for the launch. And he had only,
that's so cool.
Yeah, he'd only seen one launch before, with the first launch of Shuttle back in 1981, and so I got to meet him. That was pretty much a lifelong dream for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, you said that you were part of a team that would be able to rush out and do any last minute repairs. Did you ever have to do that?
Not last minute, but yeah, in the last couple hours, you had to go out and, we've looked at, I'm trying to remember what one of the things that we've done. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but we did have to send some people out there for a couple of missions I worked on. Usually it's nothing major. It's just a little adjustment, maybe on a regulator or, a purge panel or something like that. But, if it's major, it causes the launch to slip since the windows are so tight.
So, I mean, the shuttle program's coming to an end. We've got one, maybe two more launches. What do you think is going to fill the gap? Do you think, are you optimistic about commercial space, or is America doomed to be paying the Russians millions of dollars every time they want to pop up to the station?
Well, that second part is going to be true, at least in the short term. I just saw an article that the price just went up again to $63 million per ride from $50 or whatever. They're becoming good. They're becoming good at doing that because they're going to have a monopoly very shortly. But
come on, you know you would have done that too if you were.
Oh, yeah.
If it was the other way around, you'd be like, "Yeah, so it's $100 million." But yeah, I credit to them in one sense, I suppose.
Yeah, they're learning quick about democracy and capitalism and that kind of thing. But there's so much stuff going on in commercial space that I'm really excited about that, and I think. It's a question of how long it's going to take to get there, but eventually we are going to be there. It's just whether it's in our lifetimes or not.
Okay, so I'm asking various people this. I have a bet with a friend of mine. We made this bet in December last year, and he said that within 7 years, America would definitely be sending people into space again. And I said that I thought it would take more than 7 years. We've got a dinner that's waiting on the result of this. If I win, I can choose where I want this home-cooked dinner, and vice versa. The only problem is he lives in San Francisco, I live in London, so if he wins and I have to fly to San Francisco, it's going to be a very expensive meal I'm cooking. So what do you think my chances are?
When did the clock start?
December 2010.
So you bet against 7 years. Okay, so anyone going into orbit from an American-based launch... I think you're going to owe him dinner, but it's going to be close.
That will do me. Thanks ever so much for your time.
Sure. I don't know. It's going to be...
Wait.